go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.
Welcome back. It's time for our tour inside the ring with the greatest guide we could hope for, Bill Gertz, the country's preeminent national security reporter, the author of a column by that name at the Washington Times, a prize-winning column, by the way, and also, of course, the senior editor of the Washington Free Beacon, an indispensable resource for all of us, particularly those of us following national security issues with Bill's help. He is the author of six, count them, six best-selling books, including most recently The Failure Factory, How Unelected Bureaucrats Are Undermining U.S. Security. Bill, welcome back. Good to have you as always.
Hi, Frank. Good to be on the show.
Well, I was just talking with Steve Blank about the Russo-Chinese alliance, and in some of your reporting in the past week, Bill, you've highlighted a couple of things that I think really warrant our attention in this regard. Specifically, talk a little bit about these massive sea war game exercises that the Chinese and Russians engaged in the South China Sea lately.
Yeah, the Russians and Chinese militaries, primarily Navy, some Marines, some helicopters and aircraft, conducted a large-scale exercise, war games, described in state-run media as island-seizing exercises. I headlined the story, The Counter Pivot, indicating that China, which has been somewhat isolated by its aggression in the South China Sea, rebuilding some 3,200 acres of new islands and now militarizing them, that it's looking for allies to counteract the resistance it's getting from basically the U.S. and India and Australia and Philippines and Japan to this takeover of the strategic waterway. And so here we have an exercise which is billed as island seizing. It's clearly a strategic message from Beijing and Russia, Moscow, to stating that they're aggressively trying to take over this waterway.
In addition, Bill Gertz, you've reported on warnings from the head of strategic command, or the incoming head, I should say, about the Chinese and Russians' collaboration on space warfare. Talk a bit about that, if you would.
Yeah, this is Air Force General John Hyten. He had a nomination hearing before the Senate Armed Services Committee this week, and he was asked specifically about space weapons. Hyten is best known for his remarks some years ago when asked about the potential for future conflict in space. He said, "I'm not NASA," clearly stating that he gets it when it comes to the threats posed to space. And he specifically outlined what he said were disturbing developments by China and Russia to build space warfare capabilities. On the downside of that, he also revealed in classified meetings with the chairman of the Armed Services Committee, John McCain, that the U.S. is woefully lagging behind in this effort. Didn't go into detail in the open session, but clearly you have Russia and China building for space warfare, and you have the U.S. Needing to catch up and to be able to protect our satellites, which run everything from navigation to communications to intelligence, and are highly vulnerable to a strategic attack from either of those countries.
Hey, Bill, one of the things that you've been writing about in both connection with the Russian and Chinese buildups of their nuclear forces is their interest in hypersonic and maneuvering weaponry. Has this been a subject of conversation by General Hyten as well?
Yes. In his formal prepared remarks to the committee, for every nominee, the committee sends a lengthy list of questions. And he was asked, what are the main threats that he sees? And among them were the development of advanced ballistic missiles as well as hypersonic missiles. That is, these ultra-high-speed maneuvering strike vehicles that travel just between the upper atmosphere and lower Earth orbit space and can defeat missile defenses. So he's clearly got a finger on the pulse of that threat, and hopefully the U.S. will start working on it. Again, we have something called Prompt Global Strike, It was disclosed during the hearing that by a senator that the Pentagon has sent some requirements for hypersonic missiles to the Pentagon to begin work on that. They're again lagging behind.
Bill, one of the other things that you alluded to in your reporting on what's going on in the South China Sea context in particular is what seems to be the muzzling of another of our four-star commanders, Harry Harris in the Pacific Command. What's going on with that?
Reading between the lines of remarks made in public by Admiral Harris, it's clear to me that he's been muzzled. He's been told to tone down his comments because not too long ago, several months ago, he was very vocal in sounding the alarm on what he called China's Great Wall of Sand. That is, they're building these islands. And he was very outspoken and said, look, we've got to do this. We've got to counter these with freedom of navigation operations. Well, that hasn't lasted too long. He gave a speech at the same time the Russians and Chinese were doing these large-scale island seizing exercises and made no mention of it. So it's clear to me that he's kind of pressed on to scale back his comments.
There's no evidence that he is no longer concerned about these developments, though, I take it.
No, I think he's still concerned about it.
Just not allowed to talk about it. Yeah. Hey, Bill, let me turn to another topic that you've addressed. We were speaking earlier in the program about essentially the willful blindness, for want of a better term, that our government is exhibiting towards the threat, foreign as well as domestic, from Islamic supremacism. You had a piece about the defective training of the FBI, which may be contributing to part of this problem. Give us a readout on that, if you would.
Yeah, this was a piece that looked at, from a security expert's point of view, why we've had a string of recent terror attacks, including one in Orlando, Florida, involving the murder of 49 people, when the FBI had investigated the shooter on two occasions. Clearly, there's a deficiency in the FBI's training for counterterrorism. They have been pressured by Islamic groups not to press forward with these cases. They're not allowed to conduct surveillance of mosques where a lot of these terrorists are getting radicalized. So this is a major problem and a very important one, and the FBI's just really dropped the ball. I mean, I'm surprised that it hasn't gotten more attention. I outlined six different cases where the FBI had advanced notice of domestic Islamic terrorists who were engaged in attacks in this country and dropped the ball.
Bill, very quickly, less than 30 seconds, we have a new movie by Oliver Stone lauding Edward Snowden. You take a rather different view of his role. Give us a sense of it quickly.
Yeah, Snowden is definitely not a hero, and that was made very clear by a very revealing House Permanent Select Committee on Intelligence report that was made public a week ago, which revealed some of the disinformation about Snowden as some type of a whistleblower or hero. It basically says that he has revealed his 1.5 million secrets to Russian intelligence. He's also done an exaggeration. He hacked into his co-workers' files and stole information on NSA employees. So I look at him more as a traitor rather than a whistleblower, although he's gained quite popular notoriety through some of this Oliver Stone, who's the left's main conspiracy filmmaker in this latest movie.
Bill Gertz, thank you so much for your time. We appreciate the great work you do with the Free Beacon and the Times. I know you will come back to us again next week with more. Thanks so much. Thanks to all of you for listening as well. I hope you'll join us as well on Monday. Same time, same station. Until then, this is Frank Gaffney. Thanks for listening.
From the nation's capital, you've been listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.